The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk
with Kia.
Now, the journalist Ruth Medjher wrote in today's Irish Independent about how difficult it is to get a GP appointment, constantly ringing up our local GP and being told it was a 2-week wait. So why is it so difficult to get a GP these days, and what has been done to address it? We're joined by Dr. Brendan O'Shea, a Kildare-based GP and medical director at KDOC. Brendan, thanks indeed for talking to us. It does seem to be a real issue. We've had text in from listeners as well saying they're really struggling to get a GP or get a GP appointment at the moment.
Well, look, this is a really insightful article in the Indo by Ruth Medjher, who's a social influencer, I believe, with 40,000 followers. So we need to be really careful what we say next. Her handle is at Ruthless Imagery. And of course, she's describing with great imagination a situation that a lot of people are finding themselves in around the Dublin area, in fact, all over the country. There is a shortage of capacity in general practice. Nothing new about that. The ICGP and the HSE have very significantly increased the intake of new trainee GPs, and that will have an impact. But the problem is that the increase in capacity of training is not matching the demographic increase in the population. Well, that's at the heart of it. That's the biggest part of it. But there are other elements to it as well.
And what are those other elements, Brendan?
I suppose another element is that my crowd, who are in our 50s and 60s, typically when we have worked for most of our life, most of us have done a full working week, including 8 or 10 sessions. The new crowd tend to do shorter sessions, and increasingly they tend to be sessionalists. So they're less likely to take on the responsibility of running a practice, and they're likely to work shorter working weeks. And, you know, they're kind of right. It's a kind of a burning outy job if you're not careful, but that's part of the issue. And then another part of the issue is that these new GPs that we're training, it is actually quite difficult to establish in practice. So a proportion of them, we're losing them, particularly to the UK and especially to Australia. And then another part of the problem is that it's not all about GPs, and the Irish health system is undermanned or indeed underwomaned in terms of GP nurses, who could do more and who can do more. But we have 4,500 GPs, which is not enough. We have about 2,000 GP nurses, which is absolutely not enough. So there's a capacity issue. That's at the heart of this.
The issue of losing GPs to the UK and to Australia, I mean, that's kind of galling, isn't it? Like, I mean, look, it's a free country and people are entitled to go wherever they want. But like, it is expensive to train a doctor, and the state goes to considerable expense to do so. I mean, is there an argument that says, you know, if you're trained as a doctor, you need to work here for a period of time as a GP or in the health service?
Yeah, there's a case to be made, but not a very good case. It would be really difficult to enforce that.
Yeah, it would.
It would actually be better to address the issues that cause our junior hospital doctors to leave the country. The HSE does not enjoy a reputation of being a brilliant employer. What does it take to be a GP? It takes 5 years in medical school, a year's internship. And if you're really smart about it, it then takes a further 4 years on specialist GP training, at the end of which time you are then qualified as a GP. Another part of the problem is that there are clinics opening up which are staffed by doctors who are almost certainly not trained GPs. I know in Kildare, for example, we have numbers of Doc 365s opening up on the main street. They're staffed by numbers of clinicians. Some of them may well be fully trained as GPs. I'm pretty certain other numbers of them are not. And it is a particular skill set to deliver general practice. In GP cooperatives,
we should say they are trained medics, though. We should stress that point.
There you have it. But it's worthwhile. And again, this is the enfranchised consumer of service. So it is good when you're sitting down with somebody and you think they're a GP, it's good to check. Are you trained as a GP? Are you on the specialist register for general practice in the medical council or not? This is important.
Okay.
Another part of the problem is that as part of this shortage of GPs, those of us, and that's most GPs who work in GP cooperatives doing out-of-hours cover, there's a significant number of people who can't help themselves trying to use the co-op as a surrogate GP service, which it isn't.
Okay, so look, what do we need to do? How can we increase the number? Taking the point you've made that you can't stop people from emigrating, and also you can't the days I think of the, you know, the rural GP who worked 7 days a week and was available at 3 a.m. and all that, they're kind of over. So what do we need to do?
Make the best of what we have. Okay, so there is a proportion of patients who are really skilled and clever at this. They understand the value and the importance of having their own GP who knows them well. They're able to use, if you like, the system. What we see frequently most days is we see people who are in the practice, they're worried or concerned about an issue, they try and manage it themselves for 3 or 4 days, they wake up on Friday and they almost have a panic attack and they're anxious. Oh my God, I'm heading into the weekend and this is still going on. So they call in, and they, if they're calling into a 3, 4 or 5 doctor practice with a trainee in it, they will in their panic take an appointment with any doctor, not the one who knows them best. The really shrewd patients will be prepared to wait for another day or 2 or 3 to see the doctor who knows them well. There's very strong evidence that suggests, that proves actually, that being seen by the same doctor for most of your consultations reduces the level of complications, improves the quality of your medical care, and reduces costs associated. And this doesn't just apply to general practice, it applies to surgery care, to dermatology, to all the disciplines. In our two-tiered health system, when people buy private care through their health insurance, they do tend to be seen by the same specialist each time. Whereas if they're going into the public system, they practically never see the same doctor twice. And that comes at a cost in terms of efficiency, safety and quality of care. Okay. So again, what we can say, do value if you've got a practice where you can be seen by the same doctor. Do try to be prepared to wait it out for 2 or 3 days to get to see the doctor who knows you better, if you can safely do that. Ask for a telephone consultation. We know from the pandemic that telephone consultations work really well about 80% of the time. They're quicker. They are very acceptable, especially if the doctor actually knows you and they've got your long-term medical notes. When you ring up a doctor who is at the end of a phone from a private health insurer or a Doc 365 or a doctor in a GP cooperative, the likelihood is you've never seen them before, you'll never see them again, and they don't have your extended medical record. So working a telephone consultation through your own practice, Brendan, that's good.
Okay.
That carries benefits.
We do need to leave it there, but thank you indeed for that advice, Dr. Brendan O'Shea, Kildare-based GP and Medical Director at KDOC. Thank you for talking to The Hard Shoulder.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
With Kia.
Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.